Fritz Voltaire on his left foot. Remy Voltaire! SKC in front at home! Denny Rosero's up for it, and Sporting Kansas City double their lead!
This is the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Tommy will strike first time. Eric Tommy buries it!
Now here's your host, the voice of Sporting, Blake Arney.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB or wherever you get your podcasts. John, a huge rivalry matchup against St. Louis City SC. Sporting Kansas City walks away with just 1 point. I think overall, this last weekend and kind of a trend that is starting to happen is a little bit of frustration with the way matches have been ending for Sporting Kansas City. The fact that some of these late leads have slipped. Overall, I think the biggest thing that I take away from all of this, and I'll let you, you know, give whatever your thoughts are, but, you know, it's been a very, very fun rivalry between SKC and St. Louis, and it stinks. It really does frustrate you that they couldn't walk away with all 3 points.
Yeah, of course that's frustrating, right? Because, you know, they kind of had it in the bag with only 1 or 2 minutes left to go. But I think for fans, what's exciting is this is an exciting Sporting Kansas City team. I think, you know, that the majority of their matches have been high scoring. They've been fun. They've been, you know, electric, fast paced. So they've been fun matches to call personally, but also I think as a fan to watch. This is not a team that's not creating chances anymore. This is a team that's creating a ton of chances, scoring a ton of goals. They've just been a little leaky in the back ever since those first three games. First three games, fantastic. I mean, like I said, top three defenses in the league. And then the focus really shift to the attack. And, you know, I think they just need to shore up the defense a little bit, obviously close out the matches. But, you know, I really love the fact that they're scoring so many goals. That's not something that you always see in a team. And I think if they can shore up that defense and they can shore up that home form, then this is a team that, in my opinion, can make a deep, deep run in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think, you know, in talking to people around the team, obviously yourself as well, it feels like Sporting Kansas City is in a spot right now where they have a problem. And one of those problems is that they are letting some of those goals leak late. They're not able to close those out in the way that they want. But everyone is aware of that situation. But on the flip side, there is a very big positive in that they're scoring a lot of goals. And a lot of times for teams, you know, they may have a problem of, you know, one or the other where they're in a situation where they can't score goals and they're trying to do everything they can to get a clean sheet because they know they don't score many goals. I mean, Sporting's in a spot where the goals are going to come, and it feels like every match that the team is very confident that they're going to score goals, and you could see it with the way they're playing, the way they are putting the ball in the back of the net. However, of course, when it gets late in the matches, they've been struggling, and I think the biggest thing that I've taken away from all of this is that if they, obviously, it's a simple, sounds simple, is if you can go ahead and you can shut down the other team and finish out those games, this team has the potential to be one of the best teams in MLS. And I think that, in all honesty, is where a lot of the fan frustration, and like you said, from us watching these matches as well, a little bit of that frustration creeps in, is because you can see out there how good this team can be, but it's not coming to fruition because those points are being dropped late in matches.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, even if they got half the points that they've dropped so far this season, they'd be top 1, 2, 3 in the league. I mean, if you got all those points, you'd be by far in first place here in Major League Soccer. So obviously that's not always the case. You know, things are going to happen, but it's just the nature of that. That's how many points they've dropped from leading positions or that they, you know, had the game in hand. But I will say that all of these opponents that they've played so far have been very good. They've been very good teams, difficult matches, and I think that they're continuing to learn from those. So, you know, I don't want to say that the rest of the games are going to get easier. That's never the case in Major League Soccer, but I think that if they continue scoring like they have and creating chances like they have and tweak one or two things on the defensive side and obviously close out the matches, then I think you're going to start to see those points, you know, turn into wins and take all 3 points instead of just taking one late in the match.
Yeah, and we got the chance to talk on Tuesday with Peter Vermees, with Jake Davis, with Andreu Fontas about obviously what is going on, the situation, but also about this rivalry. I mean, it's been a very fun rivalry that has grown very quickly between SKC and obviously St. Louis City, who is a new team, their second year in Major League Soccer. And John, in all honesty, this matchup, this rivalry, looking, you know, pushing past all of the frustrations that this team has seen from the fact that they haven't been able to completely close out matches, this rivalry has picked up steam very quickly. And the matchups against St. Louis have been big matchups, but two have definitely lived up to the billing in the fact that they've been very entertaining matches as well.
They have. I think every match has been entertaining against St. Louis. And, you know, one point that I want to add is there was 36 fouls committed in that match. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen that. Clearly shows you that this, you know, there's some, I wouldn't call it bad blood, I guess. There's just both teams just really want to beat each other. And obviously you had a great traveling squad in St. Louis fans. And I know that Sporting usually travels great as well when they go to St. Louis. So it's just, it's always a great atmosphere, and you know, it's a battle nonetheless. But what I love about it is it's not a forced rivalry or forced. I mean, you know, like some of these other ones, like Minnesota, who Sporting Kansas City play next, and Houston.
It's not the nicest rivalry in sports, John.
Well, you know, sometimes it's like forced a little bit. It's like it's the only rivalry that we can create, right? Or some cup game that they make up. This is a legit rivalry, you know, that fans really want to beat each other and players really want to win those matches. And so it's cool. I mean, back when I was playing, we used to have that with Chicago Fire when both teams were in the East. I mean, it was just always a great match. I mean, usually Sporting was a lot higher on the table than Chicago was, but for whatever reason, that was always just a really difficult match and fans showed up well. And, you know, they just really wanted to beat each other. And I get that feeling, and even more so, I'd probably say, with this St. Louis rivalry.
Yeah, it feels like Peter Vermees talked about that a little bit in one of his press conferences about Chicago being somewhat of a rival, especially when he was playing, you know, around 2000, that time, that era. Sporting Kansas City and Chicago were both very competitive teams. Obviously, when you were playing, it feels like SKC was probably the better team. I guess you could say the big brother of the rivalry against Chicago. RSL had a little bit of a stint because of, you know, 2013 MLS Cup final. You look at Houston also around that era as a pretty good rival, but there hasn't ever been as natural of a rival, both geographically and, you know, with the fan bases buying in like this one has been.
Yeah, those, that, of course, the Salt Lake one and the Houston one and even Minnesota, those were rivalries in a way because, you know, just because of the games that were played, whether it was just doing the playoffs or just Sporting always played Minnesota for some reason in Open Cup and in the playoffs. And, you know, and then obviously having a few years in the playoffs with Houston and Salt Lake, it just kind of became a rivalry. But this is a legit one, mainly because of the proximity, but also just the history and, you know, fans being able to be there. And I mean, it's a true rivalry. There's only a few of those, I think, in Major League Soccer, obviously with the Galaxy and LAFC being another one. You know, I think Sporting Kansas City versus St. Louis is right there as one of the best in the league.
Yeah, I also look at, you know, Portland and Seattle as a big, you know, the Cascadia rivalry over there. It feels like this rivalry is starting to work its way into that conversation. It's not there. It's going to take time for it to get anywhere near the best of the best in terms of rivalries in MLS. But with both these teams being very relevant come playoff time last year and potentially again this year, and both these teams being very, you know, butting heads and being, I guess, aggressive towards each other is a good thing in terms of building a rivalry. And it makes the matches more entertaining, more exciting. And with two more matches on the slate, the regular season between these two teams and potentially more, you know, coming playoff time, depending on who goes where and all those kinds of things. It just makes for an entertaining build-up and an entertaining continuation of this rivalry. But looking ahead, as we talked about, John, for Sporting Kansas City, they definitely have some matches coming up. They're going to have to go on the road, and it's going to get tougher because you're playing on the road, and those matches on the road are always difficult. But at the same time, this season, SKC has been good on the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with you. For whatever reason, it's like, this underdog mentality has helped them, right? Like when they've gone down in matches, they immediately respond and they get a goal, and then they go up and they either win like they did against San Jose or almost won at the last second against St. Louis. So, and then, you know, obviously being unbeaten on the road, it's like this, I don't know, it's this underdog mentality that maybe they have, maybe they don't even know it, but it seems to be that they're kind of road warriors right now. And with a couple matches on the road, I'm obviously interested to see how they can continue that up.
Well, whatever it takes to get the points, if Sporting Kansas City can do it on the road, hey, we'll take it. No complaints from me, I'm sure. No complaints from you as well, John. But Sporting Kansas City, a big matchup against Minnesota coming up this week on Saturday. We'll talk about that in a later segment, but we'll take a quick break here on the Sporting Kansas City show. And when we come back, had a great interview on the other side of the break. So stick with us here on the Sporting KC show. As we come back, we'll have more of the SKC show.
You're listening to the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hello and welcome back here on the Sporting Kansas City Show alongside now Andreu Fontas, Sporting Kansas City defender. Fonti, how you doing?
Hello, good. You?
I'm doing well myself. So I've asked some guys this in the past. I like to start off the show, this segment of the show, with this question because it helps us and the listeners get to know you a little better. So as soon as training's done, you get outside these walls. What does a normal day in the life of Andreu Fontas look like?
Okay. Usually after lunch here, go back home. Usually I go for a coffee with my wife, either at home or somewhere else, but we used to drink coffee and talk a little bit about our day, and then sooner than later it's time to go to school, pick up the girls. First we go for Andrea, then we go for Alex, and then all kinds of activities like with them, swimming pool, swimming lessons, soccer, like depending on the day, a lot of stuff with our neighbors too, very good relationship with them. That's kind of a normal day. Early dinner with them again, preparing for bedtime, showers. So a lot of kids stuff, honestly. And then after that, we have our time also when the kids are in bed to like enjoy some shows or read books, and then go to bed pretty early too because the girls wake up ready next day.
That's good. What's their favorite activities? Do they like soccer, swimming? What are they?
They love doing stuff in general.
Yeah.
What are we doing today? It basically doesn't matter. Anything that it's outside and something that is fun, obviously.
Yeah.
But they don't want to just sit around at home. You have to always be ready. And again, as I said, we have good neighbors. We have a park also very close to our house. And it's good to have them always entertained.
I got the chance to see them at the Cauldron TIFO painting, and they got straight to work. They're active. It's great.
Yeah, they love it. They love it. The TIFO painting is one of their favorites right now. They say, "Can we go back there?" I said, it doesn't happen every week.
We don't
week.
Have one yet. Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fun.
But yeah, they love it. Again, when we were leaving, they were saying already. They know that after that they go to bed. So it's always fun to have stuff to do, and obviously the TIFO painting is one of them.
That's wonderful. They seem fun, and obviously you can enjoy that as well, as a chance to step away, let them do their thing. But, you know, that big matchup behind you, St. Louis, you guys, the result didn't go exactly the way you wanted, but it's a big rivalry that's grown between that team and you guys as well. You've been here for, you know, the growth of that rivalry, so many matches in the last couple of, or I guess last 11 months, really.
Yeah.
How have you seen that grow, and maybe how does it stack up? You've played in some big rivalries in Spain as well, so I guess, is it kind of stack up with some over there?
Yeah. I think it fired up pretty quick, and then it's amazing. I think it's very good for the league, for the clubs, for soccer in general here. I think that's the kind of games that everybody wants to, I think, see, wants to play when you are a player. These games that matter a little bit more than the rest, that people is paying more attention to it. And I think, honestly, that the games have delivered. And that's why the rivalry's been, like, very, 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 like, active. And everything that happened last year started, like, probably the best way possible, especially for us, that we knocked them out of the playoff. But for the rivalry, it's been, I think, amazing. We started the first game this year of the three that we have at least for sure scheduled now. And we started with a game that the fans probably enjoyed more than us in the field, because obviously giving up that last goal, it was tough. I think we did a very good job to come back after a rough first half too, and that's what it's about. I think it's huge for everything, for everyone, and we hope to just keep going and obviously getting more games for us than for them.
Yeah, and you are a player, it feels like, that's always kind of near the top of the list when it comes to line breaking passes and pass accuracy, those kinds of things. You dished that ball to Eric on the third goal. I mean, I guess, how do you pick those moments to play those balls? And obviously, is that just an ability you've always had to be able to pick out those passes?
Yeah, honestly, I think it's one of the my biggest qualities, probably, this playing with the ball and finding the breaking the lines ball through. I try to play them a lot. We have a style of play, and we have a kind of players that love to be in between the lines too and receive those balls. I think the way we play, I think we move the teams. We try to move the teams side to side, get them open and exposed. And when we find that space, I love to play those balls, because they're the ones that obviously break the lines and make allowed us to attack them and to find opportunities to the goal. That this last one to Eric was straight to him, and he finished it amazingly. No, but the idea is to break lines. To break lines, to be able to attack and have quality chances up top.
Yeah, and you always seem to find those passes. It's great to watch, because I don't usually see it as you probably see it a lot earlier than us viewers see it. So it's always fun. And you know, you talking about those home matches, you guys have dropped some points, some late goals, but you know, as a part of the team and as you know the coaching staff, it doesn't feel like there's too much worry about that. You guys are still calm about it because it's early in the season. So maybe to the fans and to the listeners that don't feel the same way and are kind of reactionary, what are you guys' feelings as to why you're not totally worried about all that?
No, I know, and I understand. I understand that their position and their frustration, because we feel it too. We feel it too, but we cannot be just thinking on that, because we need to move forward. We need to work, which we do. We do a lot. People don't see that we are trainings, working with things, working stuff, trying to manage better those moments, and the team is working through that. I think one day we'll get it done, and the result will happen, and we'll say, oh, we did this or we did that at the end. Sometimes things happen, and now it's happening probably more often than it should, but we know that the work is what it will bring us to the results, and the work is there. We know that we are a team that we never gave up. We showed it last year, and we show it now too. We started much better than last year, obviously not as good as we wanted to, because we know that we could have easily 6, 7, 8 more points, and we would be in an amazing position. But we will fight for it. We will fight for it. This team never gives up, and we are working on it, and we are getting better. We think every game, and that's our objective. We have a lot of games coming, and we'll keep getting better and stronger.
And it feels like it's just those one or two little things that haven't been breaking in your guys' favor. As soon as you know those things start breaking in your favor, there's no reason you guys can't make a run like you did last year. And you know, it's always fun to watch those stretches. And you know, looking at this team, a big positive has been when you guys have fallen behind, you fought back very well. What do you think it is about this team that just has that fight and that ability to get right back into matches?
I think we've been through a lot. Honestly, I think we've been through a lot, and basically nothing scares us. We're in Mikaino, who cares? We need to play our game. I think, again, when we play our game, I think we're a difficult team to stop, and then we have people that can score too. I think we have all the things to be able to be successful, and obviously we need to work better to close these games, to not sometimes not be in those positions to have to fight that much to get back into the games. But the fight is there, and it's a very positive part of it. Obviously we need to finish it, but it's something that it's positive. A lot of teams, when they go down, they cannot get back up. And as I said, for example, against San Luis, I think after a tough moment that it was that last minute goal of the first half, we came back in the second half, and I think we were the better team again, and we were playing much better than even in the first half. We came back with and got the result up for us again. So Obviously, there's positives too. And then again, as you said, as a team, we have to just not be focusing on one thing. We have to see everything, and we have to see what's good, what's bad, and work and improve in every aspect.
And so you guys, a couple of road matches coming up in MLS, US Open Cup on the horizon, a little bit of, you know, I guess congestion coming up with that midweek in Omaha. Have you ever been to Nebraska? I was just thinking about this.
No.
Okay, I went to college for 4 years okay. in Nebraska, so I was thinking about that. A lot of these guys probably haven't been to Nebraska.
No,
so it'll be your first time there.
Yes.
We'll have to break you into
all things
Nebraska.
Give us some
pointers.
Exactly.
Yeah, 100%. So with those coming up, you know, a stretch in the season where matches get a little more congested, obviously some midweek matches coming up as well. How do you guys stay fit and ready to go? And is it easier at times because you're playing more often? And I guess, what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think the preparation is there. We were thinking on one game a week at the beginning of the season, but we know that the more games and more congested schedule is coming too, so the preparation, it changes a little bit. Obviously, you cannot focus as much on trainings when there's that many games, because you're playing, obviously, like more close games. And obviously, we'll need from everyone in the team. We always say that seasons are long, and there are a lot of games. Things happen, injuries, yellow cards, accumulations, red cards. There's a lot of stuff going on, and we need from everyone. And these games also help for that. No, I think we need to have everybody involved. We need to be obviously ready for that if you have to play back-to-back games. But at the end, the preparation is there. And as I said, the focus probably shifts a little bit more into games than into trainings. Trainings are more for recovery and preparation than for actually getting charged or more gym stuff that we've been doing more this first part of the season. So we will be ready for it when it happens. The fact that it's away from home is also a challenge for us. But we're ready for it.
And you guys, with that matchup coming up against Minnesota, you guys won there last year, beat them three times last year, but it always seems to be a tough place to play. I guess, you know, it's kind of a tighter stadium. Fans are pretty close. What about that place is difficult?
I mean, they are a good team. They always are a good team. I think this year they are a very good team. They are doing things very well, and they're getting the results too. So it will be a tough match for sure. It always is in their field. Last year we got the three games for us. This year we have to go twice there. It will be even more difficult, but again, we will go there to try to play our game, to be us, which we are the best, and we'll try to fight for the 3 points.
And looking back at that matchup last year, it was a big one for you guys to get 3 points. It was at a point when you needed them going into the play or trying to keep your playoff hopes alive. Gadi Kindo with a late goal. I mean, what do you kind of remember from that match?
Yeah, I remember what you say, that it was a crucial game for us. We went there saying we need to win. I know it's hard to go to Minnesota and have to win, but we were saying if we don't win here, our hopes for the playoff will be like very difficult. And we said we have to do it. And I think we played a very good game, solid. We were 0-0 until almost the end of the game, and then Gadi came up big time and scored a very good goal for us that gave us the 3 points and the chance of like being closer to the playoff line, that it was our main focus last year after that rough start. I think we have to do a very similar game. We have to go there thinking that it's a must-win game, because we go facing every game that way. Like, it's very important to get the 3 points, and after these games at home that we didn't get the results that we probably wanted, I think it's getting more important, so we'll have to go with that mentality.
Awesome. Well, Fonti, you nailed those questions. We have some quick fire questions.
Perfect.
Coming up. So these ones, it'll be quick questions. You can give quick answers back, just whatever your thoughts are. So
okay.
This is the Compass Minerals Core Questions alongside Andreu Fontas. All right, to start things off, who on the team do you want to sit by on a long flight?
I have to say both, because if not, they will get mad. I'll be in the middle between Daniel and Johnny.
Daniel and Johnny. Okay, I'm sure some interesting conversations between the two of you. But on the next question, who was your favorite soccer player growing up?
I would say Ronaldinho. Ronaldinho, when he signed for Barcelona, I think he changed, like, even the mentality of Barca fans at that point, that we were struggling a little bit, having results, and he changed. He put his smile, and it was unbelievable to watch.
just an electric player.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, and if you weren't playing soccer right now, what would you be doing?
Good question. Something related with sports. I don't know exactly what or where or... But something related with sports, for sure. I always loved it, and it will be, I don't know if soccer, I don't know, basketball, tennis, paddle, who knows, but something about sports.
We could see you out there on the basketball court, maybe. So what would you say is the best thing that you can cook?
Spanish omelette.
Oh, there you go. That's good. Maybe you'll have to make that do you make that for the girls a lot?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. And then who on the team would you trust to babysit your daughters?
Beside the obvious that they are dads and it's not fair, I have to say Daniel too. Daniel, not for so long, but Daniel is a good uncle. And the girls love him and they have fun with him. Afterwards, then probably putting back the girls to sleep or something, I should be back at that point. But I think he would do a great job.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Andreu. That is Andreu Fontas on the Compass Minerals Core Questions. I'd like you to know that we asked Remy that same question.
Yeah.
He said you. So,
I'm proud.
I'm sure that's an easy answer because you are a dad. But thank you so much, Fonti. That is Andreu Fontas here on the Sporting KC Show. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have more on the Sporting Kansas City Show.
You're listening to the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back here in the studio on the Sporting KC Show. It was a great conversation with Andreu Fontas, as it always is, with the man himself, the defender for Sporting Kansas City. But we also sat down with Hallie Clanky, a member of the Sporting U NIL program. She is a member of the Kansas women's soccer team. It's always fun sitting down with these Sporting U NIL athletes and getting the chance to hear their angle of things in college athletics, as well as still working with Sporting Kansas City in a different manner. We had the chance to sit down with Missouri football team, the kicker for Mizzou, Blake Craig, just a couple of weeks ago. So if you got the chance to listen to that, it was another good conversation. But if you didn't, go ahead and give that a listen a couple weeks ago here on the SKC Show. But that conversation with Hallie Clanky is coming up. It was definitely a good one. We are now joined by a member of the Kansas women's soccer team, Hallie Clanky, who is also a member of the Sporting U NIL program. Hallie, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. Glad to have you on here. So let's go ahead and start things off. Let's get to know you a little bit because, of course, the listeners want to get to know you and figure out what makes you special, being a Sporting U NIL athlete. Of course, there's got to be something that sets you apart, makes you special. So we're going to go all the way back and maybe start it a little bit here with how long have you been playing soccer? Of course, you're playing college soccer now, but how long have you been playing?
Yeah, so I started playing soccer when I was 3 years old. So I've been playing for 20 years now. It was the only sport I really played growing up. My older sister played, and she's 8 years older than me, so grew up wanting to be like my big sister, and so got into it that way and just absolutely loved it, and so kind of just took off with that and then never looked back. And when I was 8 years old, I decided that I wanted to play at UNC, so that was my dream, and then it worked out really cool that I was able to go live out that dream at UNC. And so I played there from my freshman year to the end of my junior year. Actually got hurt my junior season and didn't get to play it all that season, but was so cool to go there. Was everything I hoped it would be. Had the best teammates, just the best time there. I absolutely loved it. And then I finished my undergrad there. So I decided I wanted to go to grad school. And so I entered the portal as a graduate transfer and then got to come back to KU. And I am from Lee's Summit. So it was actually kind of a homecoming, which was really cool. And I came to KU and I actually tore my ACL the very first day I got here in training. And so it wasn't the start that I thought it was going to be. But honestly, it worked out better than I ever could have thought. And I wouldn't have said that in the moment, but getting to look back at it, everything happens for a reason. I've always thought that and really got to see that kind of come and play out through all of those things. And so I did miss my first real season here, which would have been my senior season. And then last year got to play my first fall season in 2 years, which was really special. So really cool to be back on the field. And then I decided that I wasn't done yet. And so I'm still at KU training with our new staff, which has been so much fun this spring. I've absolutely loved getting to do that. It's definitely been a highlight. And I'm excited to go into the summer. I'm going to play for the KC Currents second team, their summer team, and just get ready for fall And yeah, ready for my sixth year. Feel kind of old, but just really grateful for the opportunity to do that. And just so special to get to be around my teammates longer than I thought. And again, just kind of shows everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, that's an incredible story. You know, a lot of adversity, it sounds like. But I kind of want to go back. You talked about it a little bit, saying you wanted to play at UNC at the age of 8. I guess how at 8 years old did you know that was the path you wanted to take?
Yeah, I actually like vividly remember I asked my dad who the best college soccer team was in the country, and no questions asked, it was UNC. Especially at that time, they were winning national championships back to back. I think you could argue that they still are. I love them, I'll always support them, so I'll say that they are definitely in the running for that. And so I was like, okay, dad, like, absolutely, that's where I'll go then. Like, as an 8-year-old, I was like, that just makes sense. That's perfect. And so, just had my sights set on that. Anson's an amazing coach. And so obviously as I got older, I was able to appreciate it from more of that angle of getting to learn from the best, getting to play with the best while I was there. That was so amazing to learn from girls like Emily Fox, Brianna Pinto, Alessia Russo. Everyone there is just so dedicated. It's such an awesome environment to be part of. And so, yeah, just really could not be more thankful for the time I got to spend there. And again, crazy as an 8-year-old to be like, that's what I want to do, and then to live that out. So just so grateful that I was able to do that. And again, Chapel Hill is beautiful, so just can't say enough about the good things that UNC brought me. But then coming back to KU, I actually grew up, my dad and sister went to K-State. So we were not a KU household, and so I didn't know much about it, but I showed up here and I have fallen in love with it. And that's one of the reasons too that I'm like, I will stay as long as you let me, because I absolutely love it here and it's been so special.
Yeah, so, you know, playing in club soccer and although, you know, high school soccer growing up, you're always close to home. What was that transition kind of like? We talk to college athletes and it's always interesting to hear that transition. Some stay close to home. For you, you know, obviously going away from home, what was that transition like?
Yeah, so I actually was a gray shirt, which means I graduated high school a semester early to go to UNC. So I left home even earlier than most. I think I'm just someone who, I love a challenge. I love getting to try new things. And I just think it's always going to be scary when you leave home for the first time. So I was just ready to attack that. And again, I think it made it a little bit easier that the environment I was going into was just so special. So I obviously missed home at times, but my parents are amazing. They traveled to so many games. COVID obviously made it harder for a little bit, but they were always there to support. Even still, they have been driving to all of our spring games, so they're awesome in that way. So even though I was far from home, I was always getting to talk to them, FaceTime them all the time. I still, if you ask them, I FaceTime them every day and bother them. So I never felt like I was too far from home in that way. And so it was honestly just special. I feel like to get to kind of be on my own and be independent. But at the same time, I knew I had such a great support system behind me that if I ever needed anything, they would be there.
Yeah, and so now, you know, you're a lot closer to home, I'm sure. Is that easier for them to come to some of those games if they've been still very supportive in that sense?
Yeah, absolutely. We actually have a home game, our only home game of the spring, this Sunday. And I was just talking to my mom. She has my dog right now. She's taking care of her. And I just asked her to bring her. So that's definitely special. It's different. I was not able to do that at UNC. So a lot of really cool things about it in that way, too, being able to get dinner with them after the games and things like that. And so, yeah, just never taking that for granted because I was further away where I couldn't do that as often. And so now getting to come back, I think it makes it even more special.
And then from the sounds of things, it sounds like your family very much a soccer family. Is that the truth?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, my parents, actually neither of them grew up playing soccer. My dad ran track and was a football player. And then my mom was a cheerleader. So not really much soccer history there. But obviously my sister played growing up. And then we were just kind of all into it from that point going forward. And now, yeah, I'll text my dad all the time. Are you watching this game or this game? I love Man City. That's my team. Obviously Sporting KC, we were texting back and forth. I was on a bus trip home from Nebraska, but we were watching the Miami game on both of our phones driving back, and we were texting and we're like, oh my gosh, are we watching? Like, it was so cool to watch. Bummer I couldn't be there, but we always grew up going to sporting games and stuff like that together. And so definitely a soccer family now, but not any like deep history there or anything.
That's funny because, you know, from my perspective, it's kind of similar. I had two sisters. They both kind of played a little bit of soccer. I obviously played a decent bit of, I don't want to say obviously because you don't know that. And I don't know that I've shared that all that much on this show, but no, I played soccer growing up as well. And it's funny seeing my dad, that transition of like, he was never really a soccer fan. And then when I was in high school, I'd wake up on the weekends and he'd be watching like Brentford versus Burnley or something like that. And I'm like, okay, so I've done my job. I've made that transition for him. But you know, you talk about Man City there, obviously Sporting KC as well. You've got, sounds like you're quite the big fan. Sporting Kansas City, you grew up in the KC area. Obviously this is, you know, it's a team that has grown so much over our lifetimes and, you know, over all these fans' lifetimes, having gone from the Wiz to the Wizards, now playing in their own stadium. What kind of memories do you have growing up watching this team?
Yeah, which is really the cool part now of getting to be more involved with the organization is I remember growing up when I was little, they were the Wizards at that time, and going to games with my dad. And it was just the coolest thing. And at that time, if you would have told me that I'd be getting to do this now, I wouldn't have believed you, because that is just so, so fun and incredible. And I just have so many cool memories growing up, going with my teammates there. And like even still, KU will go to the games all the time. And it's just really cool to sit in that stadium. We obviously got to see the women's team play there too a little bit, which that partnership was so cool. And something I respect so much, that just to get to kind of watch that take place. But yeah, just growing up, going to all those games and having the jerseys and being like such a big fan of all of the guys, and now continuing to get to watch and be a fan, but kind of feeling more involved, is just so awesome. And again, if you told me I would have had that opportunity as a little kid, I would have been like, there's no way, that is just the coolest thing ever. So it sometimes still doesn't feel real that I get to do that, and just get to meet so many awesome people a part of the organization. I think that's something too. Not just the on the field stuff, but all the people that I've met so far. It's just such a cool organization, and it's just really, I'm so grateful to be part of that.
And, you know, I talked to Blake Craig a couple of weeks ago about some of his favorite players from Sporting KC and, you know, growing up. Got to ask you the same question. Who are some of those players that you looked up to maybe?
Yeah, I think obviously I know this one's a very popular one, but Johnny Russell, I'm a forward. And so even still, I mean, growing up, but now like watching him play, it's been so cool. I remember when I was younger, it was kind of the Dom Dwyer era, Kai Kamara. So I really enjoyed watching them. That was fun. But yeah, it's kind of just been cool to see it evolve too, and just being a fan for so long and seeing like you have the older faces and like the ones who've remained constant, but then all the new young talent that we have now too. I think that's really cool to watch and just see like how it's kind of the game's changed and we're developing that young talent, which is obviously something I think is really cool because that's something I aspire to do. So it's really cool to kind of see the homegrown players and all that kind of come onto the scene.
And then for you specifically, you know, this KU team, what are you guys looking forward to, you know, coming up? What should fans know about you guys?
Yeah, we are just so excited. Our staff has been so amazing. I think the spring has been just a huge learning period. And I think one of the coolest things is when you have new staff, everyone's just ready to go. You're working even harder. You're trying to impress, which I think is giving us a really special opportunity to, obviously we're always working to get better, but I think it's just going to make us that much better. The staff is incredible just in the way that they push us every single day. And so obviously we haven't finished where we wanted to the past couple seasons. And I think that we've really taken accountability for that and even taken that personal in a lot of ways. And so I'm really excited for what this team can do in the fall. I think that we're going to surprise a lot of people. And so, and honestly, I love that. I love that idea of getting to maybe be an underdog. And I think that's really special. And so I'm just excited to kind of just see where this team can go. It's a whole new culture. And yeah, it's just really special to be in the locker room with the girls and just kind of be like, spring is a really cool time where you're kind of grinding and growing in that way. And so I'm just like been really impressed by the culture that we're building and excited to even get to play a little bit of a role in that. And so I think that we're just going to be, just be a force this fall. So I'm really excited for that. And I think it'll just be really special. So, and obviously too, our goal is we're going to make it to the Big 12 tournament because it's now at the Women's Stadium, which is so incredible. That's been my dream to be able to, because when I was younger, the Big 12 tournament was at Swope. Obviously I was playing in the ACC at the time. And so I was like, that is the coolest thing ever to be able to play in front of KC, to be able to play in front of your friends and family if you're from here. And then it actually got moved to Texas the past few years. And now that it's moved back to KC, I think that just gives us even extra motivation if we needed any to want to get back there and make our mark, which I definitely think we're capable of doing. And that's our goal. And we're excited to kind of keep working towards that.
Yeah, it's an incredible stadium. I'm excited to see how that tournament goes, you know, in that stadium. It'll be a pretty cool event. But I guess you as an individual as well, what should people expect? Your style of play? You have any comparisons? Any players that maybe you play like? Or just maybe explain your style of play a little bit.
I would say what I hope comes across is just that there's a lot of passion there. I think my goals, just especially of getting older, it's not about, oh, I want to score the most goals or win these awards. Those things are great. Obviously, everyone appreciates those things. But I think it's more, I want to contribute to the team in any way. And I think my goal is just to be able to kind of motivate through the passion and the joy that I play with. I would hope that fans watching can just tell that I'm truly having so much fun and that I just have a heart for it. And so I think, again, I really enjoy Johnny Russell. I think you can just tell like the passion he has for it. There's honestly all of the sporting players. You can tell how much they love the game and just the courage that they have, especially all our forwards, to take people on, things like that. It's really cool to watch. And so I would just hope that that's what's reflected in my play. And I think obviously I can always grow in those things, but I'm hoping come fall I can just build on last season. And yeah, just as a team as a whole, that we would be known for like having passion and our hard work and things like that, which in practice you can see that coming through. So I'm really excited to see that, how that just comes to fruition in the fall.
It's good to hear. Always love seeing players play with passion. You talked about it. Sporting feels like all those guys playing with a lot of passion this year. So Hallie, we really appreciate you jumping on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
That is Hallie Klanke here on the Sporting Kansas City Show. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have more on the Sporting KC Show.
You're listening to the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hello and welcome back here on the Sporting Kansas City Show. Myself, Blake Arney, alongside former Sporting Kansas City goalkeeper John Kempen here on Sports Radio 810 WHB or wherever you get your podcasts. John, the matchup against Minnesota United coming up for Sporting Kansas City, a place that they travel to a lot, it feels like, with it being one of the quote-unquote rivalries, referred to as the nicest rivalry in sports, deemed by MLS, I guess, that. Sporting Kansas City seems to play against Minnesota a lot. They played them three times last year, beat them all three times, beat them on the road. It's always a good matchup when they go to Minnesota. They've only won there twice. John, what do you expect and what do you see from this Sporting Kansas City team trying to regain some of that momentum? They've been playing well, but haven't been able to finish out matches.
Yeah, well, you know, so Minnesota's got a pretty good defense, pretty stout defense. Attack is fine. They've got 14 points at the moment, and they have a game in hand from Sporting. So they've got three more points. They're 4-2-2. So obviously, pretty good start to the season so far. It's going to be a difficult task for Sporting, but Minnesota is missing one of their key stars in Reynoso, personal reasons. So he's obviously a big loss to their squad. They've had a great few years with him. So something to kind of note there. But like we just talked about, Sporting Kansas City's kind of road mentality has brought them a lot of success so far. And, you know, it's a difficult place to play. Minnesota, great stadium. And Minnesota's kind of on a good run of form right now. And obviously Robin Laud up top with his finishing, he's going to be difficult to deal with. So if Sporting Kansas City can focus a little more this week on how to stop Minnesota's attack, I have all the confidence in the world with them because they've been creating so many chances. And it's not just luck chances or wonder goals. Some of them have been great goals, but it's the way that they kept possession, had great combination play, and then really solid finishes. You know, so I don't think I feel like that the chances and the goals are here to stay. It's just how do you get back to that defense that's, you know, not allowing as many chances.
Absolutely. I think hearing coaches and players around this team, that is the number one focus. If they can go into Minnesota and get a clean sheet, they are totally confident that they'll win that match because of the way they've been able to create chances going forward. There has not been a worry from Sporting Kansas City going forward to create chances and score goals. And you look at Minnesota coming off a huge win against Charlotte FC on the road, but Minnesota's road form hasn't been incredible, or home form has not been incredible. Mm-hmm. They lost their last home match to Houston Dynamo 2-1. They drew against RSL 1-1. So it's not like Minnesota United are holding that place down like an absolute fortress, and Sporting Kansas City can't go in there and grab all 3 points. I think it's a place that last year was kind to them because you know, they went in, needed 3 points late in the season at a time where if they didn't win that match, their playoff hopes might have been gone. They go in there. Gadi Kinda comes up with a moment of magic after the team defended so well for the majority, if not all of that match. It ends 1-0. I think Sporting Kansas City would happily take a 1-0 win on the road, not only because it means they take 3 points, but because it would mean they get a clean sheet.
Yeah, well, you know, Minnesota's last match last season was against Sporting, like you just mentioned. And, you know, Minnesota needed to win that as well. So when we go back to St. Louis, I think there's a little bad blood there, obviously, with Minnesota as well. But like you mentioned, they're sort of road warriors as well, you know, similar to Sporting Kansas City. So now they're back at home. They're having kind of the same results that Sporting's had in terms of not being able to get all 3 points. So it's interesting here because, you know, you have a side that's not great at home versus a team that's pretty good on the road. So I don't know. I like the odds of Sporting Kansas City. Obviously, you know, they need to keep everybody healthy this week. And you know, Peter always talks about managing the guys in training and the minutes. And the squad he has right now is fairly healthy. So I think that's a good sign going into this match. You know, like I said, the condensed schedule is going to start here with Open Cup coming and them going to Union Omaha. So that's something to talk about as well. But I think that, you know, like I said, I think that Sporting's going to show a response, right? They've showed a response every match so far, especially when they've maybe had it in the bag and given up a late goal or even had a loss. You know, they showed a response against Toronto away. So I feel like what I want from them is another response to go out right away, get goals early, like we always talk about, and get goals often.
So looking at Minnesota's home form, they've played 4 matches. They've won 1 of them. They've drawn twice and they've lost once. So 5 points from 4 home matches. Yeah. Would not say incredible form. Yeah. But John, looking at Sporting Kansas City, of course, you talked about the lineup and all of those kinds of things. A big note for this team, Jake Davis will not be playing in the matchup against Minnesota due to yellow card accumulation. A piece for Sporting Kansas City that has been in all honesty, a very strong addition to this team after last year, you know, kind of working his way into the starting lineup. This year, really solidifying himself as the starting right back. It sounds like it's likely going to be Caden Pierre. I mean, he makes the most sense to slot in at that right back spot. A player who hasn't had all that many opportunities with the first team to break his way into the squad. So maybe some healthy competition there. We always talk about this team having, you know, depth at each position and having that competition in training. Caden Pierre, a player trying to throw his name into the hat as well as a right back option.
Well, yeah, and I think this is a really important game for him because, like I just mentioned, it is a congested schedule coming up. There's going to be a lot of matches, a lot of younger players, a lot of players who haven't gotten very many minutes are going to need to step up and kind of show Peter and his staff what they can do. And Jake Davis and Tim Leibold have had fantastic seasons so far. I think other than maybe last match, the majority of the attacks and chances have come from, you know, the outside back spot, and they've had the most touches out of anybody on the team. So if it is Caden or whoever it might be comes in, they're going to be busy, you know, I think. And it's great because it's going to give them an opportunity to shine and show Peter and the fans, you know, what they can do as they go into all these games during the summer, Open Cup, you know, Leagues Cup, stuff like that.
Yeah. And Caden Pierre, the kind of player that is likely, you know, he's probably got a little more quickness than Jake Davis and maybe not the same defensive mindset that Jake Davis has had because Jake is shifted from that central midfield spot to that right back spot and really tried to learn and become a defender. Caden Pierre, it feels like maybe a little more natural in that spot, but also doesn't have always the same mentality that Jake Davis has going forward. And Caden Pierre, because he's a bit of a step quicker, maybe can join the attack a little bit later and still get there at the same time, or just join the attack a little bit quicker. But at the same time, then not getting caught, you know, too far up the pitch and all those kinds of things will come into play for a young player like Caden Pierre. But going into that stadium, it's always seemed to be a tough place for Sporting Kansas City to play because that fan base is great. It feels like it's a very tight venue. It's a very, you know, intimate venue, it feels like, because of the fans are pretty close to the field. You get that Wonderwall section that is loud, and it's definitely a factor in the match. So Sporting Kansas City coming into this matchup will have to try and do like 2023 and get out of there with 3 points.
Yeah, I think you're right. This stadium, I believe, was built in 2019. So it's a fairly new stadium. And I remember back in the day when they were thinking about building it, they really tried to emulate most of it off of Children's Mercy Park. And I think they even came and visited a few times to try and take some bits and pieces away. And one of those was how close the fans are, right? I think if you talk to anybody around the league, it's Sporting Kansas City. It's such a difficult place to play. The fans are right on top of you. They're only a couple feet away. And it's very similar with Minnesota Stadium in the way that their cauldron, if you will, is just so close. It's you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 feet away from that goal. And I just remember warmups there. It's just, they're right there and they're just heckling you because they're so close. And I think that's also why it is a difficult place to play. And I mean, it's getting close here. It's spring, getting close to summer. So the weather should be fairly nice, but you know, you just never know with Minnesota. Sometimes it could be cold, windy, ground might be frozen, whatever it might be. But it is a beautiful stadium, and I think that, you know, if you talk to some of the guys around the league, it's up there for one of the coolest stadiums, I guess, to play in.
John, I don't know if I can recall, how many times have you played there?
Oh gosh.
A lot?
4 maybe. Not as many as you'd think, yeah.
I mean, I guess you played a little bit on the east there. When they built that stadium, yeah. You were playing more on the east.
Yeah, I bounced around between east and west. But yeah, sometimes we would get that cross kind of conference play.
And so from, I guess, a goalkeeper's perspective, what is it like when you're in front of that supporter section? Are they, you know, in your ears there?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And to be honest with you, it's very similar because with Sporting Stadium, both sides sort of have supporter groups, right? So whether you're on one side or, you know, the north side or the south side, you're still getting heckled by supporter section and they're still pretty close to you. So it was a fun stadium to play and I did really enjoy that.
So Sporting Kansas City will have to go into Allianz Stadium and try and grab all 3 points. It's a beautiful stadium, even from the outside as well, compared to, it looks very much like the Allianz Stadium in Germany with Bayern Munich. So it'll be fun to watch Sporting Kansas City go into Minnesota. They're going to have to try and grab all 3 points in that stadium, get some momentum going into RSL. And then, as you talked about, the U.S. Open Cup. So there will be a little bit of match congestion coming up, and obviously that match congestion means you get more players working into the lineup, and this is where you get into the dog days of the MLS season, and this is the time of the year when the real teams, the good teams, show their true colors because they are ready for those kind of moments.
Yeah, which is why I think it's even more important that, you know, Caden plays this match, gets some minutes under his belt. We're going to need him. And then obviously Jake Davis just had 1 match suspension. You know, he'll stay fit. But regardless, I know Peter's got some subs up his sleeves that he could use. I don't know what his plan is. Obviously with Open Cup and other matches coming forward, you could see a little bit more of, I don't know if rotation's the right word, but definitely some more subs here and there, especially with all these road matches. I just think he's really learned how to manage the load of the players now, just given previous seasons, injuries, and the amount of games that they have to play and so forth. So I think that's definitely something that he'll look at with the director of sports performance, Joey Hardy. I know that they're looking at kind of the readiness scores, if you will, on a daily basis, just making sure that they're limiting and managing guys' loads.
Well, Sporting Kansas City has stayed relatively healthy thus far, knock on wood, obviously. Not always something that anyone outside can control, anyone inside. Sometimes things just happen, but SKC have been on the good side thus far of injuries. So we hope that it stays the same. Hope Sporting Kansas City can go into Minnesota and grab all 3 points. If you guys are interested in tuning in, obviously Apple TV will have the match, as well as here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, 7:30 Central on Saturday. We'll be on the call, myself and John Kempen. So make sure that you tune in for that matchup. A big one for Sporting Kansas City to get some momentum going forward at Minnesota United. But that's all we have here on the Sporting Kansas City Show. Make sure to tune back in next week as we have more with the Sporting Kansas City Show.